Non-compete agreements between companies and their employees could be strengthened under a bill that's in the state legislature. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, June 9th. We will talk with one of the bill's authors about how this would work and why he says it would benefit both employers and workers. And then later in the hour, we will talk with a guest from the state AFL-CIO who argues this proposal limits a worker's ability to freely seek future employment. And we'll welcome your questions and your thoughts about non-compete agreements. Do you think they unfairly limit an employee's ability to find work, or do they reasonably protect an employer? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Mike Rohrkast, a Republican state representative from Neenah, a former human resources professional and co-author of this bill that would strengthen Wisconsin's non-compete agreements. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us. Now, I'm somewhat familiar with non-compete agreements working in broadcasting. I do not have one working for Wisconsin Public Radio, but my husband, for example, who worked in television, signed a contract that said, I promise I will not, upon leaving my employment here, go to the TV station across town and work there, or I will not quit here to work there. That's essentially what a non-compete is?
Correct, yes. Yes, it's a tool that employers can use to really protect some of their intellectual capital. But it also, you know, it does help employees because it makes their company potentially stronger. And non-competes can't be so broad that they really limit a person's ability to find gainful employment, but they can help the company if somebody does choose to leave, at least for a short term, that they don't have to worry about them sort of using information that they've gained at the company that could be used by a competitor negatively against the company.
Right. I mean, it would be unreasonable and probably not legal at all for an employer to say to my husband, for example, you cannot leave this station ever to go work for any other TV station anywhere.
Correct. Yes, exactly. Right. You have to put time limits on it. You have to define narrowly where they cannot go. And it really has to be very specific, at least in order to hold up in most courts. It's got to be very specific to a direct competitor of the company in question.
So why does the legislature have to get involved in what appears to be a relationship between an employer and the worker?
Sure. Well, here's something that's unique about Wisconsin, and it's one of the few states that does not allow red penciling by a judge. And I guess that was when Senator Farrow, he's the one who developed the original draft of the bill and asked if I would take a look at it because of my HR background. And I did. And it is written, from a positive standpoint, from an employer standpoint. But it does allow judges to do what's called red penciling, or to, in order that the judge has flexibility if they see that a provision of the agreement is too restrictive, then they can strike that or change that. And it doesn't then throw out the entire agreement where other provisions in the agreements may be reasonable.
So, what does this bill change?
Well, that's probably the biggest change, is that it allows the judge to, if a judge finds a particular provision of a non-compete agreement, which are used by many employers in the state of Wisconsin, and if they don't like a particular provision or don't, they will invalidate the entire contract or the entire agreement that the employee has. And that's unusual in that most states do not do that. Most states allow the judge some flexibility. Because there's usually in these agreements, there's not just agreements not to compete. There's also agreements to not solicit, trying to recruit other employees to join you, to So if you were a department manager and you went to a competitor, if you had one of these agreements, it may also limit your ability to then take the entire department with you, which could be very damaging to a company in a short in the short term.
So from what I understand, some states, Illinois included, allow what is called blue penciling as opposed to red penciling.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Well, define blue penciling, because people use it differently. How are you interpreting
blue penciling? Yeah, the blue penciling would allow a judge to revise just an overly broad clause, but then the rest of the agreement stays in place rather than toss the whole thing out.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's correct. I mean, that's but the bill. I apologize. I just I'm getting a little. I'm driving right now, and I don't have the specifics in front of me. So, but that's basically what the bill does.
I get it.
People use different terms, and I'm sorry. Maybe I get a little. Even though I should know it, I sometimes misstate it. So.
No, I understand. That's where there was a little bit of a confusion there. So, this bill would allow a judge to strike out or revise one clause, but then keep the rest of the agreement in place. Right now, what happens in Wisconsin is that if a judge finds a mistake somewhere in the contract, the entire contract is thrown out, which I presume means that an employee who is challenging the non-compete wins. Yeah, companies are saying that they need this because they're losing non-compete agreement legal challenges.
Not a lot. But here's where the not a lot, I would say, because they most responsible companies, and I mean, I guess I'm speaking of ones that I've worked at. We went to great lengths to make sure that non-competes that we utilized would stand up in a court in Wisconsin. So we did have to, make sure that they were written appropriate to state law and any, I guess where it comes in is that employers, many employers work and have facilities in multiple states and they have employees in multiple states, and non-compete agreements are generally driven by state court jurisdictions rather than federal. Again, I'm not an attorney. Let me clarify that. But from my understanding, that's basically state law prevails generally on non-competes versus federal law. And so when you have one state that deals with agreements in a very different way than another state, it complicates it. It makes it more difficult for that employer to put these kinds of agreements together because they have to be written for each state. And this, the idea of blue penciling or basically the ability for the judge to edit, however, whatever term you want to use, if the more consistency that companies can deal with, that they can rely on, that states will look at them as similar, then the easier it is for that company to do business in those multiple states. Anytime you have different states viewing agreements in different ways, it complicates things.
Now, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article that brought our attention to this issue says opponents think these proposed changes are an attack on free markets and that this would limit the movement of individuals and ideas, which would then, stifle innovation. So what's your response to those criticisms?
Well, first is non-compete agreements have long, for many years, been held to be reasonable if they're done in the right way. And this is something that companies choose to do or not do. Many companies don't do it. Many of them do use these agreements. And individuals, either when they become employed or they have a choice to work at that company. And usually the provisions are not that long, meaning they could be 6 to 12 months, which does seem like a long time, but there's many circumstances that could be surrounding a person's departure from a company. Sometimes they may be getting severance payments. which would theoretically you could justify that they shouldn't be competing if they're still being paid by the company. So there's all sorts of individual circumstances that can come up. This again is an ability for companies to strengthen their position in their particular marketplace.
Let me hold you there. We're going to check news from Wisconsin Public Radio and National Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about our guest's bill. Our guest is Mike Rohrkast, a Republican state representative from Neenah. He co-authored this bill that would strengthen Wisconsin's non-compete agreements. What do you think of this change? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Should the Wisconsin legislature strengthen non-compete agreements? Non-compete agreements are generally entered into between some employers and their employees. Under them, employees typically are restricted from performing the same job or a similar job for a specific period of time at a competing firm. There is a bill in the legislature that would strengthen these non-compete agreements. It would, in essence, it's complicated, but it would make it harder for an employee to challenge a non-compete contract in court. But our guest says that this would benefit employers and workers. He says it's reasonable for an employer to not want a worker to, you know, jump ship and go to a competing firm and across town and share intellectual property or trade secrets. So what do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Mike Rohrkast, a Republican state representative from Neenah. He is a former human resources professional, and he is co-author of this bill that would strengthen Wisconsin's non-compete agreements. We have Ellen on Facebook who says, I am a consultant and I sign non-competes all the time. If they restrict a person from taking intellectual property from one company to another, that's fine. If they keep us from moving from, say, Bank A to Bank B for a better job, a better wage, or because it's a better company, the DOJ and the courts will intervene and it will be struck down. This is one more time and taxpayer wasting saber rattling by the Wisconsin Senate and the Assembly. Well, Representative Rohrkast, what about the difference there? You know, stop intellectual property from being shared, but hey, if an employee, you know, wants to work for a better job, a better wage, let that employee do it.
Well, and the non-compete agreement may not prohibit them from doing that. It just depends on where they're going and if they're competing directly with their current employer. I mean, employers, when they hire somebody, they make a significant investment in those individuals in terms of training, experience, providing them a lot of resources. And that if they all of a sudden leave and go to a competitor, in the short term, it can hurt that company and hurt the other co-workers in that person's department, particularly for engineering people, IT people. And this just gives some buffer to an organization if they would leave. And she's, you know, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with her completely, though. I think she brings up a good point. You don't want to limit a person's ability to find another job, but there's ways that employers do it. Sometimes employers, even if the person has a non-compete, they will hire somebody that they want. They will just not have them actually compete in that particular company or product line. They'll have them work in another area until the non-compete agreement expires. And companies I worked, we did that all the time, and they did that with our people. So there are ways, legal ways, to work around this, but it does provide some protection.
Yeah, according to an article in the National Law Review, the bill would tell courts they cannot consider whether a non-compete agreement would prohibit an employee from making a living, which is a change from current law. Why was that necessary?
Well, that was something that Senator Farrow put in there, and I'll admit I agree to that. That's something that I think is we could take appropriate feedback on in the public hearing process if the bill moves forward. Right now, the bill, there's not a lot of activity on the bill. It'll probably come up in the fall session, and that's something to take a look at. And one of my biggest drivers for co-sponsoring the bill was to allow the judge's ability to blue pencil. That was my greatest objective in pushing this legislation forward. If there's amendments to improve the legislation or changes, I'm very open to that.
Let's go to Mark in Green Bay. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
It's interesting that we just have a law passed called Right to Work, where employers could say, hey, if you don't like it here, you can find a job somewhere else. Now we have another employer provision that allows employers to avoid paying for loyalty. I mean, if you want people not to jump jobs, why don't you just give them a fair wage?
Yeah, Mark also thought it was ironic that there's the right to work, but also the right not to work at a competing firm. Is the state legislature taking all the power away from the worker, Representative Roarkast?
I honestly don't think you have to remember that these non-compete agreements are generally limited to office positions. Rarely, companies that I've worked at never use them for hourly manufacturing production positions or not any non-exempt administrative positions. They were generally only used for higher level sales, engineering, management positions.
Yeah. James on Twitter. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to share James on Twitter's comment. Doctors and dentists have non-competes, so you don't take patients with you if you sell or leave. This makes total sense. But another listener on Facebook says, if you have the choice to sign non-competes, no one forces you to take a job that has one. You want to respond to those?
That is true. You do have the choice to sign it or not. And if a company implements one after you were hired, if they didn't, so let's say you got hired, they didn't do non-competes, they changed their policy to add non-competes, they usually have to provide some consideration, either financial or other consideration in order for you to sign the non-compete. So again, it is up to the individual to do that, and it's the company's choice. So I think there's a difference. Right to work is a very different issue than non-compete agreements.
Okay. Fred in Delavan is with us. Hello, Fred.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the radio. I'm not in favor of the non-compete clause because I feel it really limits the potential of the employee to find better employment elsewhere. If these companies are concerned with it, then they should pay a decent wage and treat their employees appropriately. I'll listen to your response off here. Thank you.
So is there anything in this for the worker, Representative Roarkast?
Well, I guess it's... Here's my view, I'm a former human resources person that worked in a couple of large employers, and we paid people extremely well. We had good benefits, good pay in the companies that I worked at. People rarely left our company for those reasons. And we did use non-competes, again, for only certain positions, not for all positions in the company, so we weren't preventing many people in any way. This makes the company stronger, which in turn then benefits the people that are working there. I guess that's the point that I'm trying to make. And again, these are not forever. It's not preventing an individual from ever working in their field. There's many abilities for an individual to, even if they have a non-compete and they want to work for do their same line of work, they can just go to another company that's just not a competitor of the company they work at.
Yeah, and supporters say that reducing the litigation that comes from the current state of Wisconsin law would persuade national companies to relocate in Wisconsin. Do you agree? How much economic potential do you see in making this change?
I honestly don't think that it will have a huge economic issue either from a deterrent or as an incentive for companies. If, again, you look at the blue penciling issue, that's what companies would be most wanting changed, because then again, they don't have to worry about the entire agreement being thrown out because the judge doesn't like either a particular provision about the non-compete or about non-solicitation or other provisions that might be in there. So that's really what they would be interested in. On the list of items that that companies look at to whether they're going to relocate to Wisconsin, this would not be on the top of the list, but it's another issue that just makes it more complicated in state of Wisconsin. And again, that's kind of my objective, is to make it easier for businesses, that many of them do business in multiple states. Let's make it easier for companies rather than harder. And this to me seemed like an easy thing to do.
And we have less than a minute, actually, but how hopeful are you that this bill will eventually become law?
Well, I'll know more in the fall. I mean, I'm going to move it forward. It's just, you know, with everything else going on with the budget, with other provisions, those were higher priorities to me. So I felt, this is not something that, and then Senator Farrow is taking a new position as well. I think he was elected county executive.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Mike Roarkast, thanks for being with us. Mike Roarkast, a Republican state representative from Neenah, former human resources professional, co-author of this bill that would strengthen Wisconsin's non-compete agreements that limit an employee's ability to work at a competing firm. So now we will get another perspective on this legislation, and we will continue to take your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Tell us how you feel about non-compete agreements, whether you think they unfairly limit an employee's ability to work or whether you think they provide a reasonable protection for employers. Have you been affected positively or negatively by non-compete agreements? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We just heard Representative Roarkast say that he believes that this is a simple thing to do that would benefit an employer and make it more attractive for national companies to relocate to Wisconsin. He also, though, thinks it benefits workers because he thinks the companies would be stronger, and that ultimately benefits workers. Now we will get a different perspective. Stephanie Bloomingdale is the Secretary Treasurer for the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. This is a little bit complicated, a lot of legalese here, but apparently one of the bill's main provisions would change the current practice of what is known as red penciling. That's when if a non-compete agreement is, I believe, challenged in court, a judge could throw out the entire contract if he or she finds one clause unconstitutional or too broad. This bill would allow blue penciling, saying that the judge could just change that provision and not throw out the rest of the agreement. What's your reaction to this?
Well, I don't know about the red pencil, the blue pencil, or the purple pencil, but this bill definitely would hurt workers. Traditionally, employers offered good wages and good benefits to attract employees and keep good employees at the job. That strengthens our economy, it strengthens our communities, and strengthens our family structures. This bill would definitely weaken workers' ability to have a stronger stake in the workplace. Traditionally, these kind of non-compete clauses were for professional lawyers, doctors, scientists that had access to secret recipes, if you will. So, for instance, somebody that was working on the latest iPhone couldn't skip on over to BlackBerry and share all the secret recipes for the iPhone with BlackBerry and harm the company.
Right.
That's traditionally what these non-compete clauses were about. Now, what is the trend, unfortunately, another trend is to expand these out to everyday workers. And this is really dangerous for the ability to have free competition, to have workers be able to move to the highest paying jobs, and for companies to attract the best workers.
So what are some examples of the everyday worker who has to sign these agreements?
Yeah, I mean, I many of your callers may remember, but it's been in the news a lot. Jimmy John's, this is a sandwich maker. They deliver sandwiches. They put into their contracts that employees would be barred from working for another sandwich worker, a sandwich maker, for 2 years. So this would mean that if you worked at Jimmy John's, then you quit Jimmy John's and you couldn't go on over to Subway for 2 years to deliver sandwiches. This is just absurd. It's wrong for workers, and it expands the scope of the ability of employers to artificially depress wages.
I hadn't heard of that Jimmy John's example. So, well, what's wrong with Jimmy John's, for example, saying we don't want our secret sauce recipe to be shared with Subway?
Well, you know, most people do not would not really buy the argument that, you know, if you put the cheese on top of the lettuce or the cheese below the lettuce is really a secret trade secret.
Yeah, but what about employers, you know, wanting to protect themselves from the true trade secret, the employees who know their marketing plan and the sales forecasts and whatever, they don't want that employee to go over to the competing firm and just across town and work there.
Absolutely, and our law does provide for that. We've had a law on the books that is since 1957, actually, that does protect employers from having their secrets being traded to their competitors. And we have a law that's been working well for Wisconsin companies and Wisconsin workers. The idea is to have a balance. And while we understand that there is a need for certain protections for these kind of secrets or these kind of client lists, like, for instance, an insurance agent, couldn't take the whole client list and then, you know, skip across town and take all that business away. That is understood. This bill goes way too far in undermining a worker's ability to move to the highest paying jobs available. And it also stunts economic development and economic growth in this. It could have the potential in this state because employers really compete for the best workers. And traditionally, how employers retained workers was by offering competitive wages and benefits. This is what we believe in. But this bill essentially eliminates that traditional competition for workers and effectively shackles employees to their jobs. This allows the boss to pay poverty wages, knowing his employees can't even earn a living anywhere else.
We have to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll pick up on our discussion on non-compete agreements and a move in Wisconsin's legislature to strengthen the non-compete agreement that is entered into between some employers and employees. They prevent a worker from leaving one company and working for another competing company, usually within a certain geographical location for a certain period of time. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or a thought on this. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A state lawmaker has authored a bill that would make it harder to challenge a non-compete contract in court and would strengthen non-compete contracts. He says it would benefit employers and workers. We are talking now with a critic of the legislation, a guest from the AFL-CIO, who says the bill limits a worker's ability to seek future employment. We're welcoming your questions and your reactions to this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Stephanie Bloomingdale, Secretary Treasurer for the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. And Diane in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Diane.
Good morning. Your guest, Stephanie, is spot on. This is a bad idea. Individuals who work for an organization that cross-markets across the state of Wisconsin, your former guest was terribly mistaken that it would be easy for an employee to find another position somewhere else. These situations are most difficult. Do they want people to end up back on unemployment because they're unhappy with their current employer? They'd be unable to go somewhere else because many of these organizations do span across multiple states or within the state. So right in Green Bay, we have about three or four insurance companies. What would you have us do? Go to the state of Illinois to get a different job? We're already an at-will employee, so these laws are strong enough, and it's ridiculous to say that the employer needs more power.
Stephanie?
Absolutely, Diane. This is, you know, another irresponsible, sneaky attempt to undermine worker rights and opportunities for workers. This bill should have no place in the Wisconsin legislature. We should be talking about creating good jobs and strong communities and stable families. And when we're talking about economic opportunity, the question is, how can an employee pull herself up by her bootstraps when she's handcuffed to her low-wage job at Jimmy John's, who has the super fast delivery, or McDonald's, who has the special sauce, or the local car wash, who has the miracle wax?
So some supporters of the bill, and our guest, though, said that he didn't necessarily agree with this. Supporters were saying that this was going to make it easier to lure companies from Illinois to Wisconsin, because Illinois would like this, this type of legislation in place.
This is luring Wisconsin or Illinois companies to Wisconsin by creating irresponsible non-compete laws is a fantasy, and this is not a good sounding road to creating better jobs in Wisconsin by luring companies from Wisconsin, because we're gonna shackle everyone to their job and handcuff people to jobs that they don't want to be at. We should be offering the best training with good education to have innovative workers seeking the best jobs possible for themselves and their families and their communities.
Yeah. I know you said you don't care if it's red penciling, blue penciling, or purple penciling, that this is a, a bad bill. But aside from this penciling stuff that would allow a judge, I guess it would make it harder to throw out a non-compete agreement in court. Besides that, how is the legislation bad for Wisconsin workers?
Well, you know, if we're talking about the legal side of this, if there's a non-compete clause that an employee signs and it's really an illegal clause, and that employee takes it to court and loses in court, the employee is then going to be responsible for all those legal costs. This is an unfair burden on working people, and it will create a real chilling effect on individuals and workers being able to move from job to job. And that's really what American free enterprise is all about, is about free competition. And this bill really would limit and curb the ability of workers to move freely in the market.
So our guest, Representative Mike Roarkast, the co-author of this bill, says he is open to amendments and changes. So what would you tell him to change?
I would ask him, what problem is he trying to solve right now? We've had this bill on the books since 1957, and I would ask him, you know, who has asked him to make this change in the law? are people flooding his offices with calls saying we need to strengthen the non-compete clause? Are everyday workers that he represents calling for this? Who has asked him to make this change in the law? That's what I would like to know, and I know a lot of working people in Wisconsin would like to know this too.
Yeah, according to an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Saturday, those lobbying for stronger non-competes are 3M, Independent Insurance Agents of Wisconsin, Professional Insurance Agents of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Let's go next to Rick in Germantown. Hi, Rick.
Hello. My comment is, this is nothing but another attempt by the Republican Party in Wisconsin to completely dismantle any kind of worker rights that may be left. They went after the public unions. They went after the private unions. Now they're going after private individuals. What they offer is they want to eliminate, or they want to strengthen non-compete clauses so an employee could be fired, banned from working for 6 months to a year in maybe the only field that they're trained for, and if they don't like it, they're offered the opportunity, being unemployed without an income, to spend tens of thousands of dollars for a lawyer to fight this. There is no, this is all businesses trying to get together and once again get payback for all the money they contributed to the Republican Party.
A response, Stephanie?
You know, I think he hit the nail on the head. This is about stripping workers' rights away. Like Rick said, you know, first they came after the public employee unions, then with the right to work, and now coming after individual workers in their private jobs. I mean, workers have traditionally been able to believe that it's important to be able to band together to say they need to have better wages and working conditions in order to have a better economy for themselves and for our communities. And so that is the traditional role of unions, for people to be able to come together, workers to be able to come together with a voice, to hang together, to stick together, to have a better economic opportunity and have balance in the workplace. And there has been a attempt to undermine the rights of workers to be able to form together into groups. And now this piece of legislation is another sneaky attempt to undermine the individual right of workers to move freely from job to job.
A listener on Facebook says, if you sign a non-compete, you should live up to the terms of the contract, period. So what's wrong with that?
Well, we have a strong understanding in Wisconsin and in the United States that there are laws that protect people for the laws that exist in the land. So you can't, for instance, go and sign your rights away if that is barred by the laws. So that's we can't expect everyone to be a lawyer when they go to work at a job.
Let's go to Peter in Milwaukee. Hello, Peter.
Hi, good morning. I know your time's limited, but I wanted to give a real-world example. I do work in an industry, and I do have a signed non-compete. I've been in my particular sales industry for about 10 years. And the problem with it is I work 100% commission job. And if that commission structure changes, and I've seen it through companies I've worked for, go anywhere from 30, 40, even 50% of your income slashed because the company decides to change the income structure, that non-compete is still ironclad. And if you want to leave to slide over to another parallel company, you can't do it to earn more money because you do have the signed non-compete. So I want to know if there's going to be a clause in there for if a contract does change or your compensation changes, that you can break that non-compete.
Well, I guess that depends on the employer and the agreement, Stephanie.
Well, I mean, this is the caller really mm-hmm. explains how these kind of non-compete clauses, when they're not balanced, really can depress wages altogether. So, an individual is tied to their job, because of this so-called non-compete clause, they can't move, and the law says that it's, you know, up to 2 years. What is someone supposed to do if they leave employment, or if they're, you know, if they're downsized or whatever, for 2 years while the non-compete clause, you know, weighs out? This bill is bad for workers, and it's bad for business, because businesses want the highest quality workers to work for them. That creates creativity, it creates productivity, and that's what we should be all about: investing in our workforce, investing in our businesses, and investing in our families.
Yeah, so what's your biggest fear regarding this bill, should it become law?
The biggest fear is the downward turn that it's going to have on working people. I mean, right now we have the worst income inequality in 100 years here in the United States of America. And right now, Wisconsin is lagging in job production, lagging in our ability to have good paying, family sustaining jobs. And people are anxious about the future for our children. And if we've already stripped away workers' ability to have meaningful collective bargaining, voice in their workplace, and now we're saying that they're going to be tied to their job, even if they're working at Jimmy John's because they have a so-called secret thought, then what is really the future for our kids?
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Stephanie Bloomingdale is the Secretary Treasurer for the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO, speaking against this legislation that would strengthen non-compete agreements in Wisconsin. In our first half hour of the show, we heard from the author of this bill, Republican State Representative from Neenah, Mike Rohrkast. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour. Thanks to Kayla Blato for on-air production and to Christy Taylor for on-air direction. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, it's the big question. We'll have two guest lawmakers from different parties talking about state budget issues during our big question tomorrow.